Welcome to TanakhStudy.com. This is Gad Dishi, and together we're studying Sefer Melachim.
Perek Yud Gimel. V'hine ish Elohim ba miYehuda b'dvar Adonai el Bet El, v'Yerovam omed al mezbeach lehaktir. The end of the last perek, we saw how Yerovam inaugurated a new holiday instead of Sukkot in the eighth month that he made up, and some want to see that Yerovam bringing the korbanot or the ketoret that was mentioned in the end of Perek Yud Bet is being elaborated upon here. This is perhaps the inaugural event for the Mizbeach in Bet El, where Yerovam is bringing the Ketoret or the Korban. Now, others may want to see this just as an event that happened once Yerovam was bringing his own sacrifice. And the Ish Elohim, a Navi, came from Yehuda on the command of Hashem to Bet El, while Yerovam is bringing the korban or the ketoret on the mizbeach. Vayikra al hamizbeach v'dvar Adonai vayomer mizbeach mizbeach ko amar Adonai. Hine ben nolad lebet David Yoshiyahu shemo v'zavach alecha et kohane habamot hamaktirim alecha ve'atzmot Adam yisrefu alecha. And he called out to the mizbeach, not to the king, but to the mizbeach, either because of respect to the king, or out of fear of the king, or because really his nevuah is really geared towards the people more than to the king. And he calls out in God's name and he says, Mizbeach, Mizbeach, this is what Hashem has to say. There will be a son born to the house of David, whose name will be Yoshiyahu, and he is going to sacrifice upon you, the Mizbeach, those Kohanim who were sacrificing on the Bamot, on all of these provisional or varied geographic locations where they would bring korbanot, and they are going to burn the bones of the people on you, on the mizbeach, meaning instead of burning korbanot or ketoret, they're going to burn the bones of those who brought korbanot, who were not real kohanim, the ones that the kohane habamot, the ones that Yerovam is allowing to serve as kohanim. And so again, this might be geared more towards the people than to Yerovam, but then again, Yerovam is the one standing right there bringing the korban. It seems to be implying that he would be one of those sets of bones that are going to be burnt on the mizbeach in the times of Yoshiyahu. Indeed, this does come to pass in the times of Yoshiyahu. As you go through your perek a day, God willing, you'll get to that. Benatan b'yom ahu mofet lemor zeh mofet shedibel Adonai hineh hamizbeach nekra v'nishpach hadeshen asher alav. And he gave a sign on that very day, meaning the same day he was saying this nevuah, he gave a sign saying that this is the indication that I'm speaking the words of God, I didn't make this up. The mizbeach is going to be torn, and all of the deshen, the ashes, are going to spill out from it. And when the king heard what this prophet was saying, and what he called out against the mizbeach in Bet El, Yerovam sends his hands forth from doing what it was doing upon the mizbeach, whether it's the ketoret or the korban, and he screams, "Seize that man!" You can imagine him pointing, and his hand becomes paralyzed, and he cannot move it back to where it was before. V'hamizbeach nikra, v'yishafech hadeshen min hamizbeach, kamofet asher natan ish ha'elohim b'dvar Adonai. And at that same moment, the mizbeach was torn, and the ashes spill out from the mizbeach, just like the sign that the prophet gave in the name of Hashem. And now we know that the words of the prophet are true. And even though beforehand there was reason for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to get angry with Yerovam, he only strikes out to Yerovam when he's imposing danger or he's defiling the kavod, or the respect of the Isha Elohim. Here, the Navi is going to be called upon in the next pasuk by the king to help him out. And a very similar feeling that we have in regards to a hand that does not function as it used to, as it was with Moshe Rabbeinu's second sign, that he needs to put it back in his bosom in order for it to be repaired. Here, he needs the intervention, the Yerovam, the Havdil, needs the intervention of the Navi, and he says to him, please call out and pray to Hashem, Halna, right? The Dat Mikra Yudakil brings down Halna from the language of Hilu, In the Arabic or the Aramaic, that means sweet. In many different contexts, that word is used. So to be make God sweet and or his angry face turn away and become sweet, and you should pray for me and let my hand have its functioning back. And indeed, the Isha Elohim prays for him, and his hand comes back as it was originally. Now, why does he pray for him? Because he realizes that he's here on his job. He did what he had to do. It's not personal against Yerovam. Yerovam needs to be given, or he's being given, a chance for tshuva. When God protects him by having his hand dry up, he's now safe, and therefore he can continue praying on behalf of Yerovam, even though he is doing something that seems to be absolutely wrong. And the king tells him to the prophet, come with me back to my house, to the palace, and feast with me, and I will also give you a reward. I'll give you a present for the things that you've done. You've prayed for me. And that was the custom. When the Navi would do something for someone, they would be paid. We have this also later by Elisha, where he's refusing to receive, and then Gehazi later takes, and Gehazi gets punished with his tzara'at. But we have here the idea of getting a reward, and the king is offering it to him as something to show his appreciation. So some silver lining in the clouds for Yerovam. V'yomer Yisha Elohim el HaMelech, Im titen li et chatzi betecha lo avoa imach, ולא אוכל לחם, ולא אשתה מים במקום הזה. And Isha Elohim tells the king, even if you gave me half of your kingdom, half of the palace, I wouldn't come with you. I'm not going to have any bread by you, and I'm not going to drink any water in this place. This place is like some detestable term. I'm not going to even mention the name of Bet El. It's so low now that you've made this place defiled with these mizbechot that aren't warranted, and with these people who aren't real kohanim, and with these Egle HaZahav. Interestingly enough, of course, the Egle HaZahav do not even get a mention in the rebuke of the Navi, and that leads some to understand that the Egle HaZahav were not worshipped as Avodah Zarah. It might have been simply an emblem of the regal monarchy. Kichen tzivaoti bedvar Adonai demor lo tochal lechem lo teshteh mayim lo tashuv baderech asher halachta, because I was commanded, says the Navi, by God, not to eat bread and not to drink water and not to go back on the way that I came into the city. There are many different understandings of why that might be. Perhaps the city already is under the cherem, under some type of a order of destruction for being some type of Iran Nidachat, because they're worshipping outside of Beit HaMikdash, and they're all subject to a death penalty, and all of the belongings should be burnt, and therefore the Navi should not have any benefit from this place. Another explanation that's brought down by Uri Simon is that, at least in regards to the return on the road from which he came, is not to, so to speak, cancel out the distance and the journey that he's undertaken, the mission that he's taken, by physically backtracking over where he came. Might give some indication that he's also philosophically backtracking from the message that he had given, and therefore he's not allowed to go back on the same road where he came from. And indeed, he took a different path out from the city, and he didn't go back on the road where he came from, going towards Beit El. Others have, at this point, pointed out some geographical difficulties that perhaps now, if he's going further north from Beit El, heading towards the Shomron, he's not really going back to Yehuda, and later Psukim seem to indicate that he was going towards Yehuda. I don't think there's a difficulty. I think here we see that he just went out of a different road, going back southerly direction, but not necessarily the same one he came with going into town. And there was one old Navi that was dwelling in Beit El, in the city of Beit El, not in the vicinity of the Mizbeach that Yerovam set up. And he's an old Navi. Maybe because of that he didn't attend the inaugural sacrifices. Perhaps it wasn't inauguration. Or it could be that he had some philosophical hang-ups in regards to what it is that Yerovam is doing, and therefore he didn't want to attend. Vayavo Beno, and his son came and started telling him all of what was happening. He was so very excited. He came back home and saying, you know, you should have seen what this Navi, Ish Elohim, did today in Bet-El. And he starts telling him all the things that he told to the king, meaning about the Mizbeach and then about the hand drying up. Vaisaprum la'avihem. And then all the other sons, apparently there are other sons that may come following and they fill in the rest of the story and they tell to their father what happened. The father, who is the Navi Echad Zaken, not clear at this point, at least in the story of this Navi, is currently Navi Emet or Navi Sheker. There's other places in the Tanakh where we see the word Navi is used also for Navi Ehabal, and therefore it's not exclusive for a Navi Emet, not for necessarily for a true prophet. And he, his father, their father asked them, well, where did he go? Similar to when Yitro asked his daughters, where did he go? Why did you leave him? But here also, where, which road did he walk on? And again, he's walking, he's not taking any donkeys or mules at this point. The Ish Elohim is walking. And the son saw the road which he had taken from the Ish Elohim who came from Yehuda, implying that he's also going to Yehuda. Some want to say the word vayir'u is not that they saw which way he came, but rather they showed him, vayar'u. The sons showed the father which way he went. And his son, he told his sons, saddle me up the donkey. And sure enough, they do that for him. And he rides on the donkey. So we see here that he's still able to travel. If he wanted to, he could have gone to the inaugural sacrifices. He just would have told his sons to saddle up the donkey. וילך אחרי איש האלוהים וימצאהו יושב תחת האלה ויאמר אליו אתה איש האלוהים אשר באת מיהודה ויאמר אני. And he went after the prophet and he found him while he was resting under the Elah tree, under the terebinth. Some people want to even identify this as the Elah of Alon Bachut, where the Meneket of Rivka was buried. We learn about in Sefer Bereshit. Apparently it's some famous large tree that gives a lot of shade, and he's taking a rest. Perhaps he's already gotten hungrier and thirstier from the time that he was in Bet-El. Presumably he also managed to bring some food and provisions with him. He didn't just get a sudden telegram that he had to go. He had to have some time to put himself together from Yehuda to get over to Bet-El. And he asked him, are you the prophet that came from Yehuda? And he says, I am. So the old man tells him, come with me back home, meaning his house in Bethel, and have some bread. And he says, I can't go back with you, or to come with you, or eat with you any bread, or drink with you any water in this place. Again, this detestable place of Bethel, without mentioning the name. Again, repeating more or less the same formulation with slight nuances in regards to what his command was from Hashem, that he's not supposed to have eating any bread and not supposed to drink there any water, and he's not to have any returning in the way in which he came. And he told him, the old man tells him, I am also a prophet just like you. Now, it might be that here they're using the word Navi versus Ish Elohim. It seems to so far have been a very clear delineation between who's who. The Navi was the Navi Sheker, the Navi Zaken, and Ish Elohim from Yehuda was the true prophet. And indeed, so at least until this point is continuing. But he's saying that I am a prophet like you. We're not sure whether or not that's the truth or that's a falsehood. Perhaps he was a Navi Emet. This old man was a Navi Emet in his earlier years. Perhaps he was easily identified or became identified as a Navi by the Ish Elohim. He understood that he really was dealing with someone like that. And an angel came to me in the name of God saying, have this person come back with you to your home and have him eat bread and drink water. He lied to him. The text makes sure to tell us that even though we're calling him an Avi, and he tells him that a Malach came and reversed the order that Hashem gave, it wasn't similar to the Akedat Yitzchak where God really did reverse the order. Here there was no reversal. God really did not want him to eat bread or to go back on the road or to drink any water. But the Navi Zaken was telling the Ish Elohim that indeed he received such a message, but he lied to him. Vayashovito, vayocha lechem bebeto, vayesht mayim. Now, how much blame you can attribute to the Isha Elohim for listening to this other person claiming to be a Navi depends on how you interpret the Navi, whether he really was identifiable as a previously established Navi, also in regards to whether or not when he received his command by God, was it through a malach, did he have some other direct communication with God, in which case we'd expect to have him have another direct communication with God to cancel it out. Why would a third party be involved in order to cancel out an order when he received the order directly the first time? A lot of different factors and giving some blame to the Isha Elohim, but the bottom line is he violated the command and he went back, again going back, so to speak. It wasn't the same road, so he didn't go back on the same road, but he did go back, and that was partly perhaps negating his previous mission. And he did eat bread in the home of this Navi Zaken, and he drank water. And partaking in that meal some shows some type of identification. He's no longer in a detestable place. He's able to sit there and partake in the goodness of the city. And therefore, perhaps it's canceling out his negative message that he gave over to the people and the king. And that might be what it is that everybody else hears about later. And therefore, the prophet's message and his mission has been foiled. V'hi hem yoshvim el ha-shulchan. And they were sitting about the table. And then we have a pause here, a Masoretic text break. There's some sudden traumatic influx of God's word to the Navi, Asher Heshivo, to the prophet that brought him back. Now, the prophet that brought him back is either the Navi Zaken, and hence the word Navi, or it could be the Navi who is the Isha Elohim. Who returned, or who was returned. So it's either the Navi who did the returning or the Navi who was returned. It's beginning to be kind of vague. Suddenly there's some word of God to this Navi, and if it was the Navi Zaken, so the Navi Zaken suddenly has a Nevuah, and we're being reinforced that he really was a Navi Emet, even though he said a lie previously. Now why would he have lied if he is a really Navi Emet? Perhaps he had some deliberations about whether the message to Yerovam was in its place. He didn't know whether or not this really was a Navi Emet. He was trying to test him, and if he did come back, he thought that really he was a Navi Sheker. So we have a number of hypotheses, but nothing is clearly stated in the text. Vayikra el ish ha'erohim asher ba mihuda lemor ko amar Adonai yan ki marita pi Adonai velo shamarta et ha'mezvah asher tzvecha Adonai Elohecha v'tashov v'toch ha'lechem v'teshet mayim b'makom asher dibel elecha v'toch ha'lechem asher teshet mayim lo tavon melatecha el kever avotecha. Now, Vayikra El Isha Elohim is not clear who was Koreh to who. Is this a continuation of the Devar Hashem that's going now to Isha Elohim, which means that the previously designated Navi Asher Heshivo is really referring to the Isha Elohim? Or was it really that God spoke to the Navi Zaken, and now the Navi Zaken was telling Isha Elohim, calling out to him and telling the Isha Elohim who came from Yehuda, saying, this is the word of God, because you violated and transgressed what God said, and you didn't keep his commandments, what he commanded you, and you came back, even though it wasn't coming back on the same road, that wasn't the main part, that was the problem at this point. You did eat bread and you did drink water in the place that I told you not to eat bread and not to drink water. It sounds very familiar to the idea that we had with Shlomo himself, that Shlomo was commanded in the dreams that he was receiving the nevuot that he had from Hashem to specifically stay away from the Avodah Zarah and to keep the commandments, and he specifically violated the exact thing that God told him. So here too, the Navi Isha Elohim from Yehuda was specifically commanded on something and is specifically violating those very things. Also maybe perhaps a throwback even to Gan Eden. Lo tavo nevlatecha el kever avotecha. Your nevela, okay, your carcass, now your dead body, but here referred to as a nevela, referring to some type of a resulting from an accident, from some type of a terrible gorging killing. Your carcass will not be buried in the graves of your fathers. It gives some hint that he's going to die prematurely. It doesn't show that he's going to be dying as immediately, as imminently as is about to happen, but it's definitely a sign that he's not going to have a natural death. And after he ate the bread and after he drank. So it seems that somewhere, either this is referring to the bread and the drink that he already had, or if he already heard this nevuah, it was already over, so he finished eating and drinking. But at one point after this eating and drinking, v'yachavosh lo hachamor. Now, who saddled up whose donkey? From the next pasuk, we're going to see, it seems pretty clear who did what. But v'yachavosh lo hachamor, lanavi asher heshivo. Now, beforehand, we didn't know lanavi asher heshivo. It sounded more like lanavi asher heshivo was the Navi Zaken. Here, it sounds more like it's going to be the Navi asher heshivo is the Ish Elokim. So here we see that he went on his way, and he found an Aryeh came and found him on the way and killed him, and his carcass was thrown off to the side of the road, on the road, and the donkey was standing next to the carcass, and the lion was standing next to the carcass as well, and the lion did not kill the donkey. Okay, and the lion did not eat the donkey, did not eat the nevela, didn't eat the carcass. So here it seems that the Isha Elokim Yashem Yehuda started riding a donkey the rest of his journey while he was walking beforehand, and therefore Pasuk Chav Gimel, when it says Vayachavosh lo hachamor lanavi asher yashivo, it seems to be that the old Navi Zaken was being chovesh da ato da hamor for the Navi. And apparently he gave him a different hamor than his own personal hamor, because later we'll see the Navi Zaken still has a hamor of his own. So he has his own. And therefore, here we have an Aryeh carrying out the command of God. So it seems that he already has this nevela that was referred to in Pasuk Chaf Bet. V'hine anashim ovrim. V'yiru et hanevela mushtechet baderech v'et ha'aryeh omed et hanevela. V'yavou v'ydaberu ba'ir asher ha'Navi Zaken yoshev ba. And people started passing by, and they saw the carcass strewn on the road, and the lion standing right next to it. At this point, there's no mention of the aton, of the hamor. There's no hamor here. But the mere idea that the Aryeh doesn't kill its prey was a topic for gossip in the town. They all came back and was telling people, telling each other what had happened. And again, the town is Bet El, but it's so detestable because of what's going on with Yerovam's Mizbeach and all of his reforms, we don't even mention the name of the city. We just say, Ba'ir Asher HaNavi HaZaken Yoshev Ba, that city where that old man is dwelling. Vayishma HaNavi Asher Yeshivo Min HaDerech Vayomen Ish HaElohim Hu Asher Mara Et Pi Adonai. And the Navi Asher Heshivo Min HaDerech that brought him back from the path, both figurative and physically off the path, he heard what had happened, and he put two and two together, and he says, oh, this is the Isha Elohim that was violating God's word. And Hashem gave him over to the Aryeh, who broke him and killed him, just like God had told him. So now we have again the Navi Asher Heshivo, this time meaning the Navi Zaken. Again, switching back and forth, not very clear throughout if the Navi Asher Heshivo keeps referring to the same person. And he says, oh, that's the Isha Elokim. Now, and this is what God had already told him. Well, if beforehand we said that really the Navi Asher Heshivo and Vayikra Isha Elohim in Pasuk Kaf Aleph is referring to the Navi Isha Elokim, so then the Navi Zaken never heard what the words of Hashem were. So, really, going back, it looks like when at the end of Pasuk Chav, Vahid Baralai El HaNavi Asher Heshivo, the Navi Asher Heshivo, we can say, is really the Navi Zaken. And he got the Nevuah, and he had some, either he did or he didn't have previously real Nevuah, but this time now he really did have a Nevuah. And he told in Vayikra El Isha Elohim, he was the one who called out to the Isha Elohim in Pasuk Chav Aleph, telling him, this is what God said, because you violated God's word, and you did what you did in terms of eating and drinking, you're not going to be buried in your father's graves. And it's coming from him, even though he's the one who set him up for it. And here too, when it says, Vayishman Navi, Asher Heshivo Min HaDerech, again, it's talking about the Navi Zaken. And he now knows what the Nevuah was, and that's how he can explain, that was exactly what God told him, without, through me. That part isn't in the text, but through me is apparent from Pasuk Chaf Aleph Chaf Bet. So we have now perhaps an understanding, somehow we can also identify this confusion of which Navi is which, and which is a real Navi, and which is the false Navi, also in regards to what's really going on with Yerovam. Yerovam is someone who is appointed by God to become the king. He then does something that wasn't divinely ordained in terms of setting up the Mizbechot and putting up new religious reforms, and the people are confused, and people don't know whether or not Yerovam is real or not, whether he's really appointed by God or not, and this is being reflected in the confusion that the text gives us literarily in regards to who's the Navi that we're talking about, which Navi is real, which Navi is false, why are people getting punished, who's supposed to get punished, and we have the same confusion in regards to Yerovam. Should he be punished? Should his hand gotten better? Should have the Navi prayed for him or not? And we have this being reflected back in the Psukim. And he tells his sons, and he says, saddle up my donkey, and they do. So here we have another donkey, so it couldn't have been the same one that he gave over to the Ish Elokim Meshelim Yehuda. And they find the carcass strewn out on the road, and here the donkey is here, and the aryeh, the lion, is there standing by the carcass. It didn't kill the donkey, and it didn't eat the carcass. And the Navi, this is the Navi Zaken, the guy that wasn't strong enough to go to the inaugural event, suddenly he's strong enough now to pick up the carcass and put him on the donkey and get it to come back to town. And he was able to come to the city. El Ir Hanavi Hazaken, he's going to his own city. It doesn't say El Iro, but again, more confusion. El Ir Hanavi Hazaken, to that place that we don't want to even mention the name, Bet El Lispod Ul Kovro, to lament and to bury him. And he placed his carcass in his own grave, meaning the grave that was already the grave where he had already prepared for himself, the Navi Zaken. He put the Nevela, the carcass, the dead body of the Isha Elohim in that grave, and he was carrying out eulogies for him, and he said, Hoy Achi, which is apparently the regular way that people would start off, that we see similar in the Kina for Yohanatan. But we also know that perhaps this was some type of sarcasm, maybe. Hoy Achi, Achi, meaning that he was a similar prophet to him, a brethren in collegiality. And he said, when I die, after he buried him, he told his sons, when I die, make sure to bury me in the same grave as the Isha Elohim is buried, because A, that really was my grave, but also because he wants his bones put next to the bones of Isha Elohim in an attempt to be able to save himself from this decree that he heard the Isha Elohim issue at the time of the Mizbeach with Yerovam, ki hayo hiyeh hadavar asher kara b'dvar Adonai al Mizbeach asher bebet el v'al kol batei habamot asher be'arei Shomron. Because this thing that the Navi called out in the name of Hashem on the Mizbeach in Bet El, that's going to happen not only to the Mizbeach in Bet El, but for all of the Bamot that are going to be in Arei Shomron. At this time, there's no Shomron yet, but Al Shem He'atid, in regards to what's going to be in the future, he tells them that all the Arei Shomron that have Bamot, the Kohanim are worshipping there, are going to have their bones burnt. And apparently he knows that he is going to be guilty of that, or he already is guilty of that, which might mean that it wasn't the inaugural address, or he knows he's about to go do it anyway, so he wants his bones to be saved from being burnt, from that bezayon, that disgrace of after his death. After this thing, after there was some back and forth with the Navi, then Yerovam decided he's not making tshuva, meaning that beforehand, there was a chance that Yerovam was going to make tshuva. He saw the mofet with the mizbeach, and he saw the mofet with his hand, and he heard what the Navi had to say, and he refused to eat by him, and he was beginning to rethink his situation. But then, when he heard what happened with the Isha Elohim, that he died, and he had come back, and that perhaps some of his decree was undone by his rewinding his road, going back where he came, and eating and drinking, now he decided he doesn't need to make tshuva. Vayasho vayas miksot ha'am kohane bamot. Hechafetz yimalei et yado v'hi kohane bamot. And then he went back and he decided that anybody from the people, they want to be kohanim, they can be kohanim for the high places, for the bamot, the other than Bet HaMikdash. Hechafetz, Yimalei Yado, anybody who wants, they just have to get trained, and then they become Kohane Bamot. There's nothing to do with lineage, just Yimalei Yado, they'll go through the training. V'hi b'davar hazeh lehatat Bet Yerovam, ul'hachid, ul'hashmid, me'al p'nei adamah. And this was one of the things that were a sin for all of the house of Yerovam, and this was going to be one of the reasons why the house of Yerovam is going to be utterly and completely cut off and destroyed off the face of the earth.